Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. In relating the incidents of Bias and the elders, your heart strengthen. Kullan nuqussu alayka min anba'ir rusul ma nuthabbitu bihi fu'adak. What we require in our lives is a moral support. We need our hearts to be strengthened. We hear about the good and we long to do the good, but we don't have the drive, we don't have the motivation that is needed. The best thing is to be frequenting the company of the righteous. كُنُوا مَا الصَّادِقِينَ. That's the best. In sitting in the company, as Mawlana Thani Rahmatullah had prescribed, remain silent, don't talk. And for many people, it's better they don't even discuss anything, even with the mashayikh, for some period, they mustn't even discuss, just remain silent. And then after a time, after a month, 2 months, 3 months, then they will begin to understand things on their own. But they have to give the time. See, Islah is not a small thing. How important it is for a patient to be admitted into hospital. Got a heart problem, he's got cancer at the advanced stage. So how important it is considered. You want to restore your health, you will have to go through the procedure. So that is for your physical health. Your spiritual health, whatever time you spend, that is less. So if you remain absolutely silent and focus towards what he is telling you to focus, then you'll find everything is just coming in right. See, like how sometimes the computer is not right, right? So you go to your service provider. Then you're sitting in your office and he's telling you, press this button, press that button, press this, whatever. And everything is coming right, right. Though there is that distance, but there is some type of link. And because of that link, they know exactly, all right, this is what you need to do. And you will get this whole thing programmed right. So in the same manner, this is what is required. That remain silent and just focus towards what your mashayikh told you to focus. And in due course, you will find everything coming right. Don't ask any questions, just remain there. Until the mashayikh themselves ask you, right, is there anything that you want to discuss? Is there anything that you feel you feel not clear about? Then you discuss these things. See, this is a way of Islah, a way of correction. And we don't realize what is the way of correction. And this way has to be mentioned. Why it has to be mentioned? Because if the procedure is not mentioned, you will stay the time and you will complete the duration, but you won't achieve what you need to achieve. So therefore, this whole procedure is mentioned and explained to you, that you follow this procedure, inshallah, with the will of Allah Ta'ala, by the grace of Allah Ta'ala, things will just work out, your mind will settle, you will find an understanding of Islah. So people used to say to Mullah Thangal after he used to prescribe this, he says that if we had tried on our own, we wouldn't have achieved this, even if we spent 10 years. But in this procedure that you showed us, in 2-3 months we gain that what others may gain after 10 years. So just remain silent, remain calm, and just focus to what they have asked you to focus towards. Don't let your mind go to the right, to the left, when someone coming with a masla, and I'll do this, and afterwards I'll do this, and this person is doing this, and that. Just keep your mind on that, focused. See, like I said, that computer has to be linked. When it's linked, you're just pressing that button and everything is coming in line. So same, your mind is also controlled. When it's controlled, they're showing you how to get the control right, how to get the programming right. When that programming is right, then afterwards you're moving on your own. So several incidents of these great ulama-i kiram and mashayikh have been mentioned here, very important incidents. Incidents that will give us a true outlook, true understanding. See, many people come And even after they have left, then too they feel parishan. They feel uneasy. They feel a disturbance within themselves. And the reason for this disturbance is they don't spend the time how they need to spend the time. You spend the time accordingly. And then you go with the guidance and the instruction that the Mashayikh give you, then you don't have a problem. But you do a half job here, then you don't follow it up afterwards, and then you want it to come right, it can't come right. A sugar patient now, they ask him to keep to a certain pattern. Hospitalized him, got him under control, everything came right, then they ask him to maintain the pattern. He doesn't maintain the pattern. Now he complains to the doctor that, hey, the thing is going off. It's totally inconsistent. Sometimes it's very high, sometimes it's very low. What do I do? It's just spiking up, going down like that. So the specialist will tell you that this is very dangerous. The thing is spiking like this and going down again, then it can result in organ failure. Your kidneys can get damaged, liver can get damaged, your sight and vision can get damaged, and permanent danger it could be. So this is Islah, reformation. So it's a treatment. You see, like how you find a hospital and there's a treatment. You go through the treatment, you come right. But you need to follow the procedure. Allah Ta'ala willing, it'll come right. Same here also, you need to go through that procedure. Go through that procedure, Allah Ta'ala willing, that short period that you are, you've got an understanding, you follow the procedure afterwards, then inshallah, it will go smoothly the way it's supposed to be going. So this is Islah. Hazrat Muhammad used to say, ye to khanqa hai. Khamakha nahi. This is a khanqa. Khanqa, it's a way that got some procedures. It's a hospital to correct you, to treat you, to rectify you. Khamakha nahi is not just passing time. Khamakha is passing time, casual about the whole thing, coming, passing time, eating and moving. No, that's not the whole outlook. It's a procedure. You follow the procedure. There are several incidents that have been quoted here, and very important, very, very thought-provoking incidents. One is mainly, these incidents mainly they revolve around Hazrat Mawlana Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh. And Hazrat Mawlana Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh in this whole group, in this whole Jamaat, so he was very high leading, very high ranking. Hazrat Hadi Sahib, Hadi Imdadullah Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, right, who was the peer of all, he had a lot of confidence in Mawlana Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, a lot of confidence. And he himself used to say that now the roles are reversed. You are in my position and I'm in your position. And he would say, I'm not telling this out of humility, I'm being told, I'm inspired to say this, that you have taken my role and I've been inspired with your role. So therefore, we rely a lot on him, on his wordings, on his statements, on his fatwas, and on his verdicts. He'd been teaching hadith in Gangoh, and great, great students like Mawlana Fakhrul Hasan Gangohi Rahmatullah Alayh is his student. Fakhrul Hasan is a very leading student, and in some of the hadith kitabs, like Abu Dawud, etc., you'll find his footnotes. And from the footnotes, you can understand what a caliber of a person he must have been. So now he is the student. Mawlana is teaching the hadith, La tufaddiluni ala Yunus ibn Matta, that don't consider me to be superior than Hazrat Yunus alayhi salam. Rasulullah Basam is stopping the Sahaba kiram, that don't you consider me to be any superior than Hazrat Yunus alayhi salam. So the students objected, they asked, and how can't we? Rasulullah Basam is superior and is greater than all the Anbiya alayhi salam. And that is unanimously agreed. There's consensus on that. There's no difference of opinion on that. And then this differing in the Anbiya alayhi salam, that's also established. Tilka rusulu faddalna ba'dahum ala ba'd, that Allah Ta'ala has created rank differences within the Anbiya. Some are senior, some are lower. So these rank differences have been established from the Quran. So to say not to consider superior, then how is this permissible? How is this correct? So Mawlana Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullah explained that the one that is superior, he will generally say this, he says this, that don't consider me superior to others. Right? Out of his humility, he makes this type of statements, that don't consider me as superior. Right. Anyway, the students again objected, and they objected. Now Mawlana broached the subject in a different style. The whole thing he broached in a different style. He asked those students, "If I tell you something, will you believe me?" He said, "Definitely, why not?" They held Mawlana in great esteem. So Mawlana, if you say something, why won't we accept what you say? We'll definitely believe what you say. And if I take an oath and say this, then will you believe me? He says, "Definitely. As it is, we believe what you say. But if you have to take an oath, then all the more we will be impressed and we will definitely believe." Then Mawlana went on to say that, "You see, I consider each one of you," took an oath and he says, "I consider each one of you to be thousands of times better than myself." Now Mawlana to say this, so Mawlana was saying this with his heart. He was not just saying lip service. He says the students couldn't contain themselves. They just shrieked out, bursted out crying. Mawlana left them in that state, took his kitab and he went away. The following morning he came for the classes and he asked, "Kal ka sabak samajh mein aa gaya? Did you understand the sabak, yesterday's sabak?" He said, "Khoob samajh mein aa gaya. Now you understood it." So overall, Rasulullah ﷺ discouraged this. Ulama explained the reason for discouraging. They give several reasons, but one very simple reasoning is this, that sometimes when we praise one person and we show that he is senior and he is better than the rest, then what happens is we despise the next person. We say, "No, he is great, right?" So, but the style that we explain the seniority and the greatness, we run down the other person. Right? So running down a Nabi is not a small thing, it's a great thing. If you're running down, if you're making a comparison, and then in the whole comparison, the other Nabi is being run down, then that's a very serious thing. It is a very sensitive issue. It could affect your faith. So Rasulullah had guarded their faith in the style that don't consider me to be senior. Like I am, you look at me with respect, then look at the other Anbiya alayhi salam also with respect. This was that incident of this La tufaddiluni ala Yunus ibn Matta. Then he related another incident, all either related to Hazrat Mawlana Gangohi Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi, or some incidents related to Hazrat Mawlana Sahan Puri Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi. And they say that after Mawlana Gangohi Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi, the color of Mawlana Gangohi rahmatullahi had passed on to Mawlana Sahan Puri. If you wanted to see someone of the same caliber, the same style, the same way, the same conduct, behavior, etc., then look at Hazrat Mawlana Sahan Puri Sahib rahmatullahi and you'll find the same color, the same temperament, the same way, same outlook. One cousin of Mawlana Saharanpuri Sahib rahmatullahi had come over to Saharanpur for some treatment and ilaj. I suppose in the smaller villages you don't have proper hospitals, etc. Saharanpur was a center. Up to now you see it's a big center. So if you needed some type of a special treatment, then you'll have to come to the center. Now you see bigger doctors, specialists and all that. You don't find them in small villages. They are in centers. Right? So now you want a special treatment, so you will come here to a center, spend some time. Now the doctors had advised him to be there for about 4, 5 months, 6 months. So now he thought to himself that I'll be here in Saharanpur for 5, 6 months, and I won't be occupied. I'm just going for a treatment. The treatment will be 15 minutes in the day. So the whole day, what am I to do? So he requested Mawlana Saharanpuri Sahib rahmatullahi that since I will be here for this duration, then why don't you give me some kitabs? I'll keep myself occupied. I will teach the students and I'll keep myself occupied. Mawlana Saharanpuri Sahib rahmatullahi thought for a moment. Then he felt that he will give him some third year or second year kitabs, third year, fourth year, fifth year kitabs, not the final year kitabs. Anyway, this cousin of Mawlana says, "Azad, you give me the smaller kitabs. Why don't you give me Bukhari Sharif? Give Bukhari Sharif, I will teach it better than you. I'll prove it to you that I'll teach that Bukhari Sharif better than yourself." Now look at Mawlana Saharanpuri Sahib Rahman's response. "Definitely, definitely, you will teach it better than me. And you are much more capable than you. Well, I don't have that capability. And look at humility. See, he's talking frankly, he's talking naturally, not putting up an act, naturally. And Sahanpuri Sabra is a great muhaddis. His commentaries of hadith, Bazul Majood, etc., are used everywhere, Arab world, India, Pakistan, everywhere it's used. So he's a very high-ranking muhaddis. And this cousin is saying this much. And Muaz's immediate response was, definitely you'll be able to teach it much better than myself. But we are giving you this kitab not because we consider you to be any less. See, the students' temperaments have changed today. In the old days, their temperaments were different. They would have a lot of respect and a lot of adab for their seniors and their teachers. Whatever the ustad would explain, they would just accept it. But now, when you teach them, then they got 101 objections. So we are afraid they see you to be a new teacher, and they will then storm the questions. When they brainstorm you, then they will frustrate you. See? So just for your comfort and for your ease, we've given you some smaller kitab so that these children don't frustrate you, they don't storm your mind. Anyway, all this happened, it ended, and this cousin of Mullah, he left. So one student, he says to Mullah Sahanpuri Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, okay, this cousin of yours says that he will teach Bukhari Sharif better than you. Just allow him to teach. Just allow him to teach. Okay. We'll ask him such questions. Okay, chati ka dood yaad aa jayega, that he will regret the day he was born. What he thinks of himself? How can he say such a thing? When he said this, Murana bit on his finger and said, don't ever say such a thing. Don't ever say such a thing. And he says, okay, you see, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ko barai ka kalima pasand nahi aata. Allah ta'ala doesn't like any word where a person tries to show himself above others. Any statement where one person tries to show himself above others, Allah doesn't like that. Don't ever say such a thing. See, how cautious the man is in one statement. Here, outwardly, it is the praise of Mullah Sahanpuri Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayh. Right? But Mullah is so cautious about it, but see, this type of words here are very dangerous. You think you are making this type of statements and you are saying it in the right frame of mind, but do you know in the sight of Allah Ta'ala, this is such a serious thing. You can fall down to pieces just now. So you mustn't use words that would amount to pride, arrogance, and you boasting over yourself, over others. So Allah Pak doesn't like this type of statements. There's another incident here. He speaks about one person. He had a job in the court, a nice position he had, and some small problem had happened, and he lost the job. Now, as explained early on, you know, in the 1860s, 70s, 80s, to get a good, reliable job was a great thing. See, most of our ancestors came from India to South Africa, you know, around that period, 60s, 70s, 80s. Now, they didn't come because they liked to come to South Africa. There were constraints, financial constraints, they were, and they had to move on. So therefore, they were pressed to move on. So if someone had got a job then he had to look after the job. Now he has got 20, 30, 40 dependents. Now whatever his earnings are, all those dependents, they eat from that. See, now he lost the job. So obviously a normal person becomes very concerned, very worried. So anyway, he came to Mullah Sahanpuri Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, and he complained that this is the problem. So Mullah said, don't worry, Allah Ta'ala will make the means. Anyway, he came after a few weeks or a few days and he says, well, I lost the job completely now. So Mullah said, don't get worried. All right, you read this name of Allah Ta'ala from the 99 names, read this 21 times after Zohar Namaz. Inshallah, something will happen for you. Allah Ta'ala will arrange something from the unseen, from the ghaib. And it happened, he had hardly read it for a few days. In that period, one senior officer, very, very senior officer, he had some problem. So I was approached by that officer to do that for him. And it was something very easy for me, very simple. I worked it out for him. When I worked it out for him, he was very impressed, very, very impressed. I did it so beautifully, so nicely, I've done it. So he asked me, okay, you know, if there's any work of yours, then you tell me, then I'll sort your work out for you. So he said, yeah, my job is on the line. They fired me now, and I don't have another job. So what job, if you know, in the court? I got a job in the court there, and I have been fired. I said, which court? This court here. I said, all right, don't worry, that officer, he works under me. The one that is in charge in the court, he works under me. When he works under me, then I've got the controls, I pull the strings. So I'll secure your job, don't worry about it. Meanwhile, this person went and spoke to that person that is in charge. Says, all right, you know what, I think it's a little bit late because this officer that is in charge of this court, he's been transferred to another court, understand? The one that he's got a contact with, he's transferred to another court, so when he's transferred, then he won't be able to do anything here. So they deliberated the whole thing. Then they came back and they say, no, he's transferred, in paper he's transferred, but he will only move on after 2 months. So up till then, he's still influencing the decisions here. In paper, it's documented that he's going to move in 2 months. But still, the transfer hasn't taken place officially. So until then, he will be the man in charge. So he said, go and do this thing here. Well, the person that was in between gave him something for running around, whatever else. And alhamdulillah, his job was secured, alhamdulillah. It was Mawlana Sahanpuri Sahib, rahmatullahi alayhi. Again, there's another incident of Mawlana Sahanpuri Sahib, rahmatullahi alayhi, the same person. He says, again, I was involved in some problem again. Right? And I had to make an appearance in court for whatever. I was in a state of ghabrat, real ghabrat, very uneasy, very perturbed. You know, sometimes this lawyer's letters and all that, you're not used to it, so it can give you a restlessness. Hey, within 3 days you don't appear, then this action will be taken, legal, we'll prosecute a legal action. So people think of the worst and say, you sit in jail now, what's going to happen? One day in jail, what's going to happen then? It's going to be public news just now. So people get very scared. So anyway, when this happened, so he says, I was in a state of panic, real anxiety and panic. And I went to everybody to help me out, to bail me out. Hey, can there be anything? Can you work out this for me? Can this be worked out for me? So in that state of panic, I had to do everything and anything. In that state of panic, then I should do anything and everything I should do. Before I come to that, this is the tail end of this first story, the tail end of the story here, is when I got the job secured, so I pulled out 5 rupees and I gave it to Mawlana Sahanpuri Sahib Rahmatullahi as a token that, you know, he made dua and all that. And because of his dua, everything worked out, so I pulled out that 5 rupees and gave it to him. So Mawlana took it with a smile, broad smile he took it with, and then he says, but you know this court proceedings, because of the court proceedings, you must have incurred some type of debts. So he says, yes, I have incurred debts. Because of the court proceedings, I lost the job, then I had to get back in all these proceedings that took place in me getting the job back. So I had incurred some debts. So Mawlana Sahanpuri then told him, see, the law of the Sharia is this, that when you are in debts, then you put yourself into constraints and then discharge all your debts. Once your debts are all cleared up, then you can spend freely and comfortably. But now you are in debts and all that, and you're spending freely and comfortably as though you are disregarding the debts that are on your head. That's not right. First you clear up all your debts, then you want to invite people, give dawah and whatever else, then you may do this. But whilst you have got debts and you spending like this with extravagance, and that's not right. So therefore you take this money back. So he thought for a moment, perhaps this amount is too small, 5 rupees is too small. In that time 5 rupees was big, because the salary at that time was about 30 rupees. That was a standard rupee, a standard salary. So 5 rupees is about 1/5 or 1/5 of the salary. Someone is earning 5,000 rand, and 1,000 rand is given as a gift. So it's not a small thing, it's a big thing. So he felt perhaps it's too small, therefore Mawlana is rejecting it. So Mawlana senses this is what he's thinking about. So Mawlana told him, see, no, it's not about it being small or big. Whatever amount you want to give, 6 rupees, 7 rupees, 3 rupees, 4 rupees, 2, whatever, once you have followed this procedure, cleared up all your debts, then you want to make over a gift to me, I don't mind accepting it. But now you've got a debt that is suspended on your head, and you want to make over gifts to me, then this is not the right thing. So he says, all right, but my wife will make a noise. See, a lot of people, they may be strong, brave and all that, but they're under the government, you see. So I said, she'll make a noise now. How do I overcome that hurdle? And then the other people, that every story, they must go and relate it to their wives. 100%. Like a student and a ustad. I said, this is what happened and this is what happened. See? So like a small child, you're going to explain everything to the wife, creating more problems for yourself. Right? We know how women think. Then you need to cover the hurdle in a nice way. You have to overcome the hurdle. And you don't have to relate every story to her. This is what happened and this is what didn't happen, whatever. So anyway, he says, all right, where you married? All right, I understand where you married. Your wife is Muhammad Ali's daughter. I said, yeah. So all right, don't worry, I'll sort that out. You're living in this street, yes, all right. So Mawlana went straight to his house and he knocked the door. So in Sahanpur and all these places, Deoband, Jalalabad, they have a system. When you knock at the door, then the ladies don't come in front. It's not like, it's not open like us. They'll have a screen. On the door, they'll have a screen that is suspended. Like this is a door. So on the door panel, they will have a screen suspended. So there's a woman behind the screen, and she will ask, yes, what is, who are you, what do you want? And so you don't see her directly. So that's a very good style where you don't come into direct contact with an outsider. But whatever needs to be done is done. So when the wife came, so Mawlana told her, see, I am Khalil Ahmad Sahanpuri, and I came to congratulate you. Your husband was in a predicament. Allah Pak has got him out of the predicament. And he wanted to make over a gift to me of 5 rupees. So I told him that this is the procedure of the Sharia. The Sharia says, no, if you have got a debt, then you go and clear the debt first. And then you can make over gifts to people, whatever else you want to do. So don't get upset. Yes, all the debts are clear, everything is above board, then I will accept the gift. So in the meanwhile, you don't get upset. And Mawlana went away. So Mawlana's style was very simple, simple, straightforward, very clear. And that same colors of Mawlana Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullah you would see in Mawlana Sahanpuri Sahib Rahmatullah. Very straight, clear, unambiguous. You can't make a noise, a big buzrug or whatever else. See? So the same person here, he was involved in some other court problem again, court case. So in that, he was panicking and anxiety. Now you get this anxiety attacks and all that. So in that, he was doing some terrible things. He was going to some pandit and all that, and that pandit told him, no, what you must do on a Monday or a Tuesday, you must feed chana to the monkeys. It's, Hindus, they believe in the monkeys and all that. So you must go and feed chana to the monkeys. So he did that, told him, no, take the feather of a pigeon, put it into your amama, your turban, stick it there. And he's doing a whole host of things. In that anxiety now, anxiety, anybody tells you anything, you do it. In anxiety, anybody tells you to do anything, you do it. You're not concerned what's happening. Aage piche ki kuch sochte nahi. I know some persons came here, so they had a problem, they go to some amil or whatever else, you know, go to this Kabristan, take one black color goat, and here you must make zaba of it and leave it here, and take one geese and take one turkey and do this and whatever. So in that anxiety you do anything, you become like a diwana, mad. Now how that fowl is, the black fowl, how is related to this problem here, Allah Pak knows. But in that anxiety you do anything and everything. See the suspicions and doubts and all that. People play with people's minds, right? You play with people's minds, and They feel appeased if you show them something exciting. It's a simple thing, read this dua, doesn't work. But now take one black turkey and go to that Kabristan and give it to that poor person, must be black in color also. So now the thing is right, on board. So this is all suspicion. You're working with suspicion and doubts. It's not right. You create more confusion in people's minds. What we need to do is to lead people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let them build their confidence and their yaqeen in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not in these things here. Anyway, so in all this commotion, he had a dream that he is in Gango. Gango Sahib Rahmatullah is resting, and he is there in Gango. And besides Mawla Gangohi Sahib Rahmatai is Hazrat Mawla Sheikh Ulin Rahmatullah Ali. And Mawla Sheikh Ulin Rahmatullah Ali sees this person here and he chases him away in the dream. Is happening. Nikal jao yahan se, har jai ka yahan par kaam nahi hai. Person that goes everywhere is coming here, is going to Hindus and whatever else, and then this is not the place for him. Get away from here. Anyway, Shaykh Ulin said this once or twice. Mawla Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullah was lying down. So at that time, Mawla had passed away. He's seeing this in the dream. So Mawla had raised his head a little bit. He raised his head. And then he looked at him. He said, Aleh Fulane, but didn't you make Tawbah? Didn't you make Tawbah? He said, yeah, I did make Tawbah. So then, per tere upar kya ilzam? If you made Tawbah already, then there's no blame. You're not blameworthy. Made Tawbah already. Now he got up, and he got up with a shock. As it is, he was in a state of panic. And now he got up in a shock that this, I went here, I saw this dream here, and this Buzurganuddin asking me to get out from here. You know, so really, I'm in a pareshan. I'm in a difficult situation. Anyway, all this happened, so he went with some friend of his to Mawla Sahanpuri Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, since Mawla Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali is late now, went to Mawla Sahanpuri Sahib Rahmatullah Ali and related the entire incident to him. So Mawla told him, all right, I understand your problem, but for that what you have to go to Gango back. Before you come to your house, before you come to your home, then you just go to that qabr of Mawla Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali or the masjid nearby and just meditate for some time there. And whatever you experience, you must show it to me. And remember, you go first to that masjid, whatever, near that. You go and meditate there. And after that meditation is over, then you go home. So he asked then, Hazrat, but why did Mawla Sheikh Ulin Rahmatai, why did he chase me out? What happened? So Mawla Sahanpuri Sahib Rahmatai teared. He says, Gunegar tom sab hai, we're all sinful. But when you have given your hands into the hand of a very great person, then really it is just off the course that you go to Hindus and non-Muslims for help. Even to Pandit and all these type of things, completely off the course. You lose your faith, you lose your iman. They make you do these type of things, and you lose your iman. So you put your hands into the hands of some very great person, and then you stoop down so low. See? So anyway, he went, according to what Mawla told him, so he went to that nearby masjid and he meditated. But he says, when I went there, it's around Asr time, but I see it's completely dark. Black. You know, it's total dark. I was in a state of ghabrat now. Anyway, came back, then after Fajr again, I did the same thing. I went to that masjid and I meditated there. Then I found some clarity in my heart. My heart was, and my mind was absolutely clear then. So anyway, there's several things that we learn here. One is, from the first incident we learn the aspect of humility that I've been speaking around in a couple of days now. That the whole theme here is to learn humility. To learn humility. And when this Buzurganuddin speak about humility and tawazu and fana, then they're not saying it of their own. They've got it from the Quran Sharif. But they say it in simple words for you to be able to digest it easily. See, in the 19th Sipara, Surah Furqan, where Allah Ta'ala, in the last ruku, he speaks about the qualities of the righteous, Ibadur Rahman. the select, the elite servants of Allah Ta'ala. When he speaks about this elite servants of Allah Ta'ala, what are their qualities, what are their ways, what is their behavior? So the first aspect that Allah Ta'ala discusses there, يَمْشُونَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ هَوْنُ وَإِذَا خَاطَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ قَالُوا سَلَامًا. The very first aspect is humility. When they tread the earth, then with humility, softness, they don't think anything of themselves. So that is the first thing. In the next verses, Allah Ta'ala then says about them engaging namaz and then asking dua against protection against Jahannam, right? And then when the style of their expenditure, when they're giving out charity, etc., how they do it, yeah? And then how they avoid sins like zina, fornication, shirk, etc. All that is following later on. But the primary thing what Allah Ta'ala speaks about is modesty and humility. Well, يَمْشُونَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ هَوْنَ وَإِذَا خَاطَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ. All that comes afterwards. After humility, everything else is followed. Now, why does Allah Ta'ala speak first about humility? Lowering yourself and thinking nothing of yourself. Why does he discuss this first? Then why does he bring everything else later on? Because his humility is such, okay, you can only work with the person after he's learned the lesson of humility. If he hasn't learned the humility, lesson of humility, and you are teaching him, and you are guiding him, instructing him, tasawwuf, you're taking him up and he's falling down again. You're taking him up and he's falling down again. Every small thing, and he's falling down, he's collapsing. So nothing is remaining with him because he doesn't have the aspect of humility. That humility must be ground very firmly in him. So to the extent that humility is grounded in him, you will find that edifice, that structure will go up. It's like a foundation. This humility is like the foundation. Right? You want to put up a great structure, then the greater the structure that you want to put up, the greater the foundation has to be. The deeper the foundation has to be. Or it's like a land that you want to cultivate. You have to prepare that land. You haven't prepared the land, there's bush there's stone there's rock there's everything else, all obstruction on the road, and then you want to put up you want to cultivate that land. How are you going to cultivate that land? You're going to start cultivating in bush, rock, stone, etc. Whatever you're going to do is going to be a wasted time. Your time is wasted. Your money is wasted, your effort is wasted. Why? The land has not been prepared. So exactly the same, this humility is preparing the land of the heart. Once the land of the heart is prepared, you become totally humble. Then, whatever is said to you, you're taking the stride. Now, this is told to you, now I must do it. This is told to you, now I must do it. I must do it. Then you have got that aspect of Islam. Islam is subjugation, surrendering. See? So that surrendering will come when the land has been prepared. But the land is not prepared, then how is the surrendering going to come? You haven't learned to surrender, you haven't learned to subjugate, you haven't learned all these things here. Now, for everything, you will need a proper, lengthy discussion. Everything, you need a discussion, and you want someone to encourage you gradually, then you get to do it, after your mind has become clear. But the simpler way was to get this right, get this aspect of humility, tawasu right, fana'iyat. It's different words they use, but it comes to the same thing. Humility, fana, tawazu, humble. Just get yourself right in that respect. You got yourself right. Everything is working out. Everything is working out. Now, it's a question of inheritance. You're not asking, hey, why am I getting 2 rands and why they're getting 4 rands? You're not asking about that. Or someone else passed away and you won't ask, oh, why is he getting and why am I not getting? Or some calamity struck, that you don't say, oh, why the calamity had to come to me and why everybody else are left out. You're not going to ask. You're going to consider yourself to be the most humblest of everybody. Whatever is coming, you feel, no, I deserve everything. I deserve this type of thing. In fact, I deserve much more. Some of us may have heard of Sufi Iqbal Sahib, one of the senior khalifas of Mawlana Muhammad Zakariya Sahib, rahmatullahi alayhi. So he was visiting Pakistan, and at that time he'd become handicapped, so they used to push him in that wheelchair. So whilst they were going to some madrasa or whatever, So he's a most senior ranking. He's not an alim, but he's most senior ranking khulafa of Mullah Zakariya Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi. So some of the murids, how you have it, you know, what is the maqam of our sheikh now? What karamat he did and what is that maqam? People want to know all these things. They go into directions, they go into avenues, they're not supposed to be going. But anyway, they discuss this type of thing. What is his maqam? What is his position? What the karamat said or he's done? So he overheard this. What is his position? He said, you're asking, what's my position? You're asking this. And he teared and he says, Wallah, my personally, I feel like this. If I'm thrust millions of miles into the ground, you know, I feel really it's a light punishment that I have been given. I'm supposed to be going right down millions and billions of miles right down the earth. I must be finished completely. That's what I deserve. This is the favor and the satari of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's covered me that I'm threading the surface of this earth. Otherwise, this is what I deserve. See where he is and what he thinks of himself. And then it's not just lip service. It is a conviction. It's not just a lip service. It's not just floating on his tongue. No. It's something that he's convinced about. See, when you say lip service and conviction, it's a two different thing. Like, if I introduce someone, he's a great Hafiz Sahib and all that, he's a Hafiz or whatever else, right? Or he's a Molana, right? And he says, no, hey, don't say that. I'm not what Hafiz I am and what Molana I am. Now, this is lip service. Why I say it's lip service? Say, for example, there were two lists drawn out, right? One was of those that were illiterate and jahils, and one of that were Hafiz and Molanas, right? So if your name was written in the list of the jahils and uneducated, would you appreciate it? You would appreciate it. Definitely you say, hey, but why was I left out? But in the meanwhile, you were saying, I'm not a Hafiz Sahib, I'm Jahid, I'm like this, I'm not a Molana, whatever. But the moment they put your name into the list of the uneducated, illiterate, then you felt hurt about it. So it shows that you don't have that humility in you to the level that is required. You don't have it. So you see the importance of this humility, how it needs to be set in. See, unfortunately, when you live in a Western environment, right, then you begin to think and reason like that. You begin to behave like that. Right? You begin to behave like that. You want people to respect you, honor you, talk to you in that way. So that humility leaves you. Right? And Islam is talking basically about this humility. You think nothing of yourself. Whatever has been given, consider it as a favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't think that you are worthy of it at any time. Really, this lesson of humility is such, the deeper it sets into your heart, the more enjoyable life becomes. Really, life becomes more enjoyable as you learn the lesson of humility. Right? Today, for example, you had bread and you had some salan, right? So you think to yourself, hey, no, I was not worthy of this one. Allah gave me this. I was just worthy of some dry crumbs. Not even that I was worthy of. Allah favored me. I had a roti and I had this type of salan and this type of meat also I had. You know? So you are appreciative. You are grateful. No, really, I'm not worthy of it. And Allah favored me like this. So really, I need to be appreciative. But the man is sitting on the dastarkhan and he feels, I'm Mr. Khan sitting on the dastarkhan. And only one variety. Only goes. That's all. I'm supposed to get so many more varieties. So you won't feel the happiness within your heart. You'll be always complaining. Grieving and complaining within your heart. You will never feel relaxed. You won't feel calm and composed in yourself. So this lesson of humility, really, it brings about a lot of happiness. A lot of ease, a lot of happiness. Contentment, happiness. There was one great buzurg in India. So one Hindu came to visit him. The Hindu had some of his own problems, some pandit had some of his problems, and he wanted that buzurg to make dua for him. So that buzurg made dua for that pandit. The pandit saw this buzurg living in constraints, very difficult circumstances living in. So the pandit says, you know what, I see you living in these constraints, and I can't see you living like this. I will give you an easy procedure that you can change metal into gold, kimya. I'll give you a procedure. You just do this, and you will change ordinary metal into gold. So the Buzurgaradin, they don't like to hurt anybody. Said, all right. So I gave him the procedure, showed it to him, how it's made, all that, whatever else. So he showed it to him, and then he took the paper, and he left it in the shelf. Now this Hindu Pandit, after 3-4 years, 5 years, he had to come around the same way. So he thought, now this must be a flourishing town. There must be so much of gold, so there'll be a flourishing town, malls, cars, and vehicles, and roads, and whatever else. So he saw it was just like the time that he had visited first. So now his heart is in pain. Okay, I gave this buzurg, I don't give this to anybody, and I gave it to him of all people. And he didn't appreciate it. So he tells the buzurg, I gave you that prescription, now why didn't you make use of it? So the buzurg kept quiet. So the buzurg felt, now, all right, let me tell him something, at least he'll feel comfortable why I didn't use it. He may be thinking that I'm not appreciative, and he'll feel hurt. So just to make him feel relaxed and comfortable, let me tell him. So, all right, you've got a prescription, but I also have got a prescription. You've got a prescription for prosperity, so I also have a prescription for prosperity. So he got excited. Yeah, what can be? Can there be anything greater than this kimya, alchemy? Can there be anything greater? So he says, you've got a prescription, I've also got a prescription for comfort. So what is that prescription? So that prescription is contentment and satisfaction. So this pundit looks down for a moment and says, yes. Usse barkar to koi cheez nahi. There can't be anything greater than that. Contentment and satisfaction. With your lot, whatever Allah Ta'ala has given you, you'll be totally satisfied, totally content, to feel totally relaxed. Really, I don't even deserve this. I've been given this. I'm very grateful to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala that I didn't deserve this, and Allah Pak has blessed me with this. So he says, there can't be a blessing greater than this. So you see this humility, contentment, satisfaction. Now this is Islamic ways, Islamic thinking, Islamic outlook, and that is not is alien to Islam. When it's alien to Islam, then you will ever feel uncomfortable. Imagine, as a Muslim now, inside your house, you have got dogs, you have got poultry, you got a pig running inside the house. Can you ever feel comfortable? You can't. Why? It's not your culture. You don't live like that. You feel very uncomfortable, very uneasy. And if you had a lion inside your house, you feel even more uncomfortable. So these are all kuffar traits, see. Greed, avarice, aspiring for more all the time, not feeling confident, content, not feeling satisfied. So when you have that within your heart, it's like having a pig, a lion, a leopard, a snake inside your home. So it's impossible that you will feel relaxed. It's impossible. Try what you want. You will ever feel uncomfortable. You'll be complaining. You'll be grieving all the time. You'll feel hurt. You'll feel pain. But this is because you brought alien things into your system. See, you brought something alien. It doesn't belong to your house. Your house, what belongs to your house? Satisfaction, contentment, humility, so love, selfless love, only for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. This was what belongs to your house. You brought these things into your house, you will feel satisfied. You will feel comfortable, you will feel easy. And you remove these things and you replace it with these things, obviously, there's going to be everlasting heartache. You will not feel at ease, you will not feel comfortable, you will not feel relaxed. Mentally, physically, you will not feel it. Allah Ta'ala grant us the tawfiq and understanding.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Discuss some of the adab of going to the toilet. Before going to the toilet, if a person has the Quran Sharif or any ring with the name of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala or a paper with the hadith or any ayat on it, then one should remove it before going to the toilet. Then you should be wearing some sandals or some shoes and also covering the head. And then before entering the toilet, recite the Masnoon Dua. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-khubuthi wal-khaba'ith. And then enter the toilet with the left foot. Then when undressing, do not undress whilst you are standing, but try to go as close as possible to the ground, and then remove the lower garments, and then one should relieve himself, but in such a way that he saves himself from any splashes of urine, as we learned from the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that this is one of the causes for azab and punishment in the qabr. And then when a person relieves himself, then after that istinja should be made. And istinja should be made, the sunnat way is to use cloths of clay or sand and then use water to clean oneself. But since that is due to our weakness, a person can use in place of that some toilet paper. And when making istinja, one will use the left hand. And upon completion, then you will redress yourself. And again, do not stand up totally naked, but try to dress yourself whilst you are as close as possible to the ground. And then before leaving the toilet, make sure that the toilet is left in a state much cleaner and better than what you had found it in. And then whilst in the toilet, do not engage in any zikr or any tilawat of the Qur'an Majid or any conversation with someone. And if someone is looking for you or calls out to you, then just by some sound or some coughing, just indicate that you are in the toilet. And likewise, if the toilet is a communal toilet where others will also be using it, then do not remain in the toilet much longer than what you are required to remain, because this will be a means of taklif to others. And then when coming out of the toilet, then come out, step out with the right foot first, reciting the masnoon dua, غُفْرَانَكَ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ الَّذِي أَذْهَبَ عَنِّي الْأَذَى وَعَافَانِي. And then not rush and haste to perform wudu, but rather practice istibra, meaning that what if a person feels that there are few droplets of urine that still need to come out, then first allow those droplets of urine to come out either by lying down or either by taking some walk, etc. And only once the person is sure that everything has come out, then only should one proceed to make wudu.